crowds of people. It's and they're cheering and they're clapping and they're supporting their particular team to which they have affiliation. And after we finish church, I do hope you'll go down and hang out at the beach and support the DBICC ripple effect. Happiness. And there again is that megaphone. I remember the guy talking over the microphone, telling which teams to come up. And, you know, it's quite noisy, a lot of noise. But today I want you to listen to the noise in Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 16 through verse 40. And what I want you to listen for is, of course, the conversations. It's very important what's being said and spoken by whom to whom. Secondly... Keep your ears open for unusual noises. Now, we're using visual sense to hear. That's kind of different, right? But because I'm not going to be playing these audio clips for you. You're going to have to imagine the sounds, all right? But most of all, what is God saying to you? Now, we've been going through the book of Acts, and it's a marvelous history of how the church started from nothing. 11 guys who were called his close disciples. One has hung himself and deserted and betrayed the Lord and Savior. But from that group of at least 11 close disciples and other believers, we see the formation of a church that grows out of Jerusalem and starts going into the Gentile world. And now we're on this second missionary journey with Paul and his team. And it's the kingdom of God continues to grow and spread to many different lands. And you and I have that same sort of thing right now. We're being used of God in the land of DB, and wherever your work takes you and your travels, and I see some of you pilot guys, I mean, you're in so many different countries, and how God is using you in these different places, it's really a fantastic place to have this hub. We're not Antioch of Pisidia, but we are DB, and God is expressing his kingdom and expanding it through you and I. And so listen to what God's word might be speaking to you today. We can learn lessons from those who've been involved in the mission of making the gospel known to those who haven't heard it yet. So first we come to sounds of freedom in Acts 16, verse 16 through 18. There's Paul and a slave girl. This is really a servant girl, a slave girl. She's not like some of our wives we might treat like slaves, taken for granted. No, she's a slave girl, and Paul the apostle. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out loudly. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Just a little note before we look at the sounds of freedom, is what I call it. It begins by saying, as we were going. Luke is including himself in the story now. He didn't start out with his team, but he's meeting him up at Philippi. He is from Philippi. And so he's meeting there, and you'll see this we, Luke is the author of Acts, and so now he's on the scene. And they were met by the slave girl as they're going to this place of prayer down by the river. Remember what happened at the river last time we were in Acts? Lydia came to faith, a business lady who dealt in textiles, very, very delicate, refined textiles, purple in color, worn by the wealthy. She came to faith in Christ. Her whole household was baptized. And that happened perhaps maybe just 1 week prior. But it seemed like this was a daily occurrence from Philippi, somewhere in the city, that they make their way down to the river, this place of prayer where believers gathered. And they must have had meetings every day for worship. And on the way, this girl who has a spirit of divination, and that's a really an interesting Greek word. She had the spirit Python, the worship of Apollo as a god, and his killing this particular python in Greek mythology, Roman mythology, is that he could possess people and give them the spirit of Python where they could predict the future. And so this is how it's being identified, a specific type of demon from this spirit of divination, spirit Python. So this lady was under double bondage. She's bound by a spirit, and she is being exploited financially by her owners. So it's making your slave, she's our slave. Yeah, she's going to make me a lot of money through her divination, her fortune telling. Well, she followed them. And so it's not like, just say it one time. Did she follow them all the way from the city center down to the river, perhaps? But what is she saying? She sang it very loudly. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Spot on, huh? Not too bad. It's true. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. I've read it a couple times. Do you imagine me repeating that every 5 minutes? Or perhaps even more frequently? Someone up in the balcony keeps shouting this out, you know. That's true, that's true. Thank you, thank you. You can be quiet now, right? But it kept going on and on and on. Before we move on in this passage, I just want to tell you, if you're involved in any fortune-telling stuff, stop it. Don't go down to Temple Street. Don't go over to Wong Dai Sin. Most of you don't even know where those places are. But if you've ever been involved, do not do fortune-telling. Do not look at horoscopes, whether they be the Chinese style or the Western style. We're told in scriptures in Deuteronomy 18:10, 2 Kings 17:17, that's easier to remember, 2 Kings 17:17, God hates it. It's wicked and evil. Why is it so wicked and evil? I just want to know. You know, will my son get into university? Am I going to get a new job? Why can't I read some horoscopes or... Because you're not trusting God Almighty, who made heaven and earth, who's given you his Son, Jesus Christ, and all things to richly enjoy, and says, I'm going to take you from planet earth to heaven. Now, I'm the one to be trusted, not this guy over here with an evil spirit who predicts the future. God hates it. Okay, I don't think we have too many people going to Temple Street and Wong Dai Sin, but you may have friends who do that. You may have friends who go to different Buddhist temples and looking for their fortune telling. Show them that God is trustworthy and how you have trusted him through thick and thin. You don't need to know the future because we know he holds the future. All right. Okay. And this she kept doing for many days. So this lady is screaming not only just that one time, this one off. No, she's done it for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. So many days Paul heard this, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation, you know, over and over. And you can't, I've never, to my knowledge, I don't think, and I don't think you have either, have been possessed by an evil spirit. But to hear an evil spirit talk through people, I bet it sounded weird. It had evil sounding to it. And so Paul became greatly annoyed. Anybody got annoyed this past week? Anything? Yeah, there's one. Bless you, sister. Okay. You know, we've got a witness. We get annoyed, and when you get annoyed, you usually don't keep quiet. You know, I get... Okay, and then he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out that very hour. So sounds of freedom is what we hear, and that it's going to get louder now. Hope your ears are not sensitive. But here's a lady. This is one artist's depiction of this scene. She's the gal on the left and the white, and Paul's in the green. He looks more annoyed than the rest of them, and then he commands the spirit out. This is one artist's interpretation. Okay. But it's going to get a little louder, and this is called Sounds of Suffering, And generally where there is suffering, the sounds are much more audible. Paul and Silas, the slave owners, the magistrates, and the crowd. So just imagine all these people are going to be involved here in this. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." Seized and dragged them. Now, we've seen people with Greenpeace movements and different peaceful sit-in people, Occupy Central, maybe, I don't know. These guys, they get picked up by the police and dragged, you know. And sometimes they don't fight, they don't resist, and it's kind of a quiet sounding. But I don't know how loud it was. What do you think? But they got seized and they were dragging them away. Those kind of noises are going on. But the loud noise is the accusation. "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." Their message isn't the one that the lady did, is it? They're not saying, "These are the men who are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." No, they're saying, "These guys are enemies of the state. They're terrorists. You're not really Chinese. We can't listen to you. You're all expats. You have no voice in this city." A very severe prejudice towards the Jews. Yes, they are Jewish. And there was some disturbance coming up, but I don't think it was evil at all. Other than we'll see what happens. "Well, the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. And having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Does anybody want to demonstrate tearing your garment? Let's see if it makes any noise. But you can imagine, these guys are wearing perhaps very similar, more of a longer type of a flowing cloak-like, and just having it ripped off and stripped off. A little bit of noise, okay? But commotion, the crowd's into it. And you can hear them join in the attacking them, you know. It's, yeah, let's kill them, these Jewish terrorists. And they tear the garments off of them, and they gave them orders to beat them with rods. Raising our children, and we felt that it was absolutely essential that we, to a certain age, we use the rod. You know, the scriptures say if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. If the rod of God will drive the folly out of their heart. Use your rod on your kids, you know. And so I didn't use a rod. I used the wooden spatula. But has anybody ever had a rod hit them? Oh, okay. You're a bad boy, Robert. I had bamboo one, yeah. Yeah. So what's going on here? These guys are being beaten with rods. And it's rods in the plural. These guys, I'll talk about them in a minute, they're called lictors. These guys who are the rod beaters, and the Greek for that is called lictors. And they had a whole bunch of rods together, and they beat them. I have no idea what that looks like. I tried to find some images for that, historical images, but I couldn't really get one to show you. But it's more than just one cane. You know, you get caning in Singapore if you're a bad guy. But here is a bunch of them, and beaten, and being hit and whacked. You can hear those sounds. I won't go into this story. I'll give you the short story. As a junior high kid, 14 years old, I got in very serious trouble at a school function, and the dean of students punished me and my friends with 5 licks. they wouldn't call them lashes, but that's what it was. And it was like a cricket bat with holes in it. And I'd stand over there with my knees, with my hands down on my ankles, and the guy would sit over here, run with the cricket bat, like a golf swing, and lift you off the floor. That's back when there was no child abuse. And he had a witness there to make sure he wasn't abusing me. And that was funny. But anyway, my parents knew that was going to happen, and they knew I got punished. And it's black and blue on the bottom for about 2 weeks. Now, these guys had been beaten how much when they had inflicted many blows upon them? Many, many blows. No doubt there's blood. And they've been beaten. Then they throw them into prison. I always hear that. We use those kind of words. They throw you into prison. I wonder what throwing a guy in. Yeah. I think there's some sounds being made here, as they beaten them and they throw them into prison. And then they order the jailer to keep them safely. Now, he's kind of like a little mouse. You don't hear much from him right now. But you do hear him doing what? Locking their feet, fastening their feet in the stocks. There's no indication from this scripture that they had their hands shackled. But their feet are put in stocks, and they're put in this middle of the prison, like these great terrorists, enemies of Rome. Hear any other sounds? You might hear some sounds that I miss. Would you please tell me after the service? I'd like to know, your thoughts and reflection. But these are sounds of suffering. It goes on. There they are. Being seized. It's supposed to be joyful. Joyful sounds. Paul and Silas are and the prisoners and the jailer and his household. They've been beaten, and look at their response. Here they are. What do you think they're doing? They're singing. They didn't have Lucas on drums or Pam on the keyboard, but they're singing. One of the greatest tests of our true conversion and faith in Christ is when we're under stress, we can still sing, "Thank you, God. I know who holds the future." I remember Kevin singing it when he had cancer. Some of you sang it this morning, and you're going through very severe trials. That's a true evidence that the song of faith is in your heart, placed by Holy Spirit. And so this is what's happening. It's around midnight, and they sing. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Midnight and singing. I really like DB as a community. For the most part, my neighbors, and I hope yours are too, they tune it down around 11. Unless you're the Wallaces and you party hard. I don't know. What, you guys are smiling. What's going on? But most people keep it calm, right? Maybe you got the rock guitarist neighbor. I remember that. Okay, so you may have one or two of you may have it, but for the most part, DB as a community, people are respectful, and they tune it down. But here's 12 midnight, and the jailhouse is rocking. Paul and Silas are singing tunes, and the prisoners are listening. And I can imagine a prisoner or two saying, "What's this all about? They're singing about Jesus." They can face tomorrow. They think, it's what a. They're very joyful. Those are the guys who are beaten down there. They're in the hole, and they're singing. Now, when the earthquake comes, I've been in little earthquakes. I think it's in California with Ed and Bonnie in San Francisco Bay Area, and you just feel a little bit of a shake, and. I've not been in one of these where it shakes and everything on the mantle rattles and a flower vase or vase falls to the floor. How many of you have been in an earthquake? Wow. Was it a quiet one? Anyone have a loud one? Oh, there's a few loud ones. Guys, you got to tell me your earthquake stories. But, bless our heart, we've tried to show aid to Sichuan Province. It's gone through some very horrendous earthquakes, and I know those were not silent ones. And I don't think this one was either. The foundations of the prison were shaken, and I don't think you can shake foundations without making some sort of noise. But most of all, these doors are opening, and bonds were unfastened. So those people who did have their hands shackled and feet fastened, these things began to fall off. Became unlocked. And if you heard all those kind of noises, you're wondering, wow, what's happening? Amazing sounds as well as joyful. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he's not too happy. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." Could they see him? Could they just hear him drawing his sword? You know, I think most Roman swords then were in a leather type of what do you call that? Where you put your sword in? Sheath. And it's not a metal kind of thing like us, you know, in the Middle Ages where you can hear it ching ching that kind of thing. But singing's going on. An earthquake has happened. Perhaps it's all gotten really quiet now. For whatever reason, whether Paul heard it or saw it, he shouts out, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." There he is. So this artist's depiction is that Paul and Silas could see him. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They need some lights. He's got to see what's going on. You know, what has really happened? And he knows, and particularly in that world and time, that if you're involved in an earthquake, you're gonna be close to meeting your maker. You're going to be wondering what's going on. Is God doing something? And he certainly is trembling with fear, and he falls down before Paul and Silas. Now, one thing the apostles refused to receive is worship. I don't know if they told him, "Get up, let's go." But it says here in verse 30, he brought them out. So of that inner place where they had been, with their feet shackled, he brings them out, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Very respectful. Not terrorists, "What do I need to be saved?" But, "Sirs, what do I need to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Salvation for you and my household is in no other name but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So when he's taken him out of the prison, and then his whole household perhaps has come to see his dad all right in the jail, but Paul and Silas, to speak the word of the Lord, to speak the good news that God saves sinners through Christ Jesus, who's risen from the dead, who has ascended to heaven and is coming back to judge both the living and the dead, and to offer those who have come to faith in him eternal life in heaven. They told him this whole gospel. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds. Now we're going to have some water sounds. Paul and Silas are tough men. They didn't, you know, you got some bad marks on you, you know, and you need to get them cleaned up. Ooh, ow, that hurts a little bit. But you can hear the water, you know, a gentle wash. It's not going to be a real hard scrub like you might only get dirt off a little child. No, it's going to be a very tender and caring washing going on. But also, you're going to hear this water baptism. Was there a stream nearby where they could be immersed? I don't know. Or did they just sprinkle? I think most likely that's what happened. But it wasn't only just that for the jailer. It was his whole household got baptized. Lord willing, we hope to have a baptism service here on Father's Day, June the 15th, if at all possible. And if you've got someone in your household who'd like to be baptized, would you let me know? Just drop a word in my ear, and we'd be glad to talk to someone in your household and make sure they understand the gospel. But if you've never been baptized before, Jesus said, you know, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then you teach them. So it's kind of like some of you could be already in Christ and believers, but you never received baptism. Well, it's not really an option. It's a declaration of who you are in Christ. And I exhort you to do that and invite your friends to come and watch. Every time I see someone baptized, it reminds me of how I have been clean, how I've been saved. It's encouraging for us as a body of Christ to see baptism, particularly when our children come to faith. So maybe there'll be some children out of Weird Animals or even before who are ready. So pray with me that our household here, that we all be baptized. So there's this water sounds, but what else kind of sounds are there? Eating, good food, refreshment. I had a great, my birthday was this past week on Monday night, and I won't tell you which restaurant, anyway, it was a good food. And we had a great time, and it's just a good time to be with friends, refreshment. And this is what naturally happens when you're with Christian friends and you take a meal together and Jesus is there. It's just really a very special time. And it doesn't really matter what restaurant or what food, but being there with Christ and enjoying each other's company can be a very simple meal, can be an extravagant one. But nevertheless, these people are eating together, and this Philippian jailer and his family are rejoicing in their salvation. It says, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And Paul and Silas, could you teach me that number, you know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You know, let's sing. Let's rejoice. They're having all kinds of sounds in this Philippine jailer's home. Here's the artist's depiction of Paul and Silas talking to the family. Acts 16:35-40 are sounds of justice. Paul, the magistrates, the police, and the jailer are involved in this one. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." The magistrates are the one, you know, who said, let's beat them, throw them in jail. And I guess they may have had a change of heart after the earthquake during the evening. And they probably would have thought superstitiously, maybe we did the wrong thing throwing these guys in. You know, let's let them go and let's don't, you know, let's quietly dismiss it. And perhaps that was going on. So they sent the police. And the police are the lictors. These are the guys who you know, the police. That whole concept. But anyway, is modern day. But the police are the lictors. They're the guys who carry the rods. Now, I have noticed in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh that often the law enforcement do not carry guns. But what do they carry? Stick. And I'm saying, I'll bring it on, bro. I can take on a stick. Yeah, these guys know how to handle that stick, let me tell you. And when you got 100 of them with sticks, you better be quick. Well, these are the lictors, the police with their bamboo rods. And they come in and they say, let these men go. And so the jailer comes to Paul and says, you guys can leave, you know. The police are staying here, you can leave. And Paul says, what's he going to say? It's coming up. But right here, the jailer says, the magistrates have come in and said, therefore come out now and go in peace. And so it's great, you know, Paul, you know, thank you so much for the gospel and everything. Now you can go in peace. This is really neat. And you think Paul would say, yeah. So, but he says no. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out. Not meaning the police, but the magistrates. In Roman law, you could not, if you're a Roman citizen, you could not be beaten and publicly humiliated as a Roman citizen. If they're going to give you the cane, if you're going to get a beating, that'd be done in the prison. Also, in Roman law, you could not be in prison before a trial. You could not receive punishment until you've had a trial. So, what has happened is that the magistrates have broken Roman law. And remember, the accusation was that these are Jews who teach things that are not in accordance with our laws? No, they're not. They're Roman citizens. Yes, they are Jewish ethnically, but they're Roman citizens, and they know the law of Rome. And technically speaking, the punishment you have put on someone mistakenly as a Roman citizen could be put on you. So you can imagine what's the tone of Paul's voice. I don't think he's saying being very disrespectful. He's just being truthful and assertive and trying to show that they have not come to bring disorder or harm to Philippi. They're law-abiding citizens. Over the years in China, China's government's finally learning this. Initially, they thought that the church was the tool of the West. They know for the most part that the Church of Christ in China mean good to the nation. But there are parts where it's still very, very severe in the persecution in mainland. Well, the police reported these words to the magistrates, the lictors with their rods. They came back and they were afraid. The magistrates were afraid, and I imagine the police were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. It doesn't tell us what they said, but Paul, Silas, you know, my Roman fellow citizens, on behalf of the great city of Philippi, we humbly beg for your forgiveness. I don't know how they did it, but probably diplomatically, and said, by the way, we don't want this to get out of hand, and would you mind leaving? That's my interpretation, okay? The fear of a lawsuit, and as I said, the lawsuit wouldn't be money. We're going to turn these lictors on you magistrates. We're going to rip your clothes off in front of the crowds who you say you rule, and you know, you would lose your whole reputation. So do you mind if we just we're very sorry. Would you mind leaving? Okay. Even though there might be areas in China and areas in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, the Muslim world, where people think that the church and the gospel is a threat to government, but it's not. To good government, the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ should be a blessing. Sounds of encouragement. Last verse, 16:40. Thank you for hanging in there. Are your ears okay? Your ears are. I like this one. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. There's encouragement there. Look, this is how God takes care of us. We were wrongly accused, and you know, he'll be with you. So don't fear. You live in a city where there's many people who don't understand Christ. They may have prejudices against you, but hang in there and be his witness. They encouraged them and departed. Now remember, Luke and Timothy were with this gang on this journey. Where have they been? I have no idea. If they were in prison, Luke saw fit not to write about it, but I think he would have put that in if he had been in prison with them, don't you? I don't think he was there. And I think him and Timothy were probably hanging out over at Lydia's place or doing something with that group of believers. I believe he probably did his medical thing. Luke was a doctor. He probably helped them with their wounds and stuff. Mutual encouragement going home. But after they encouraged him, they departed. Okay. Some big words: freedom, suffering and joy, justice, and encouragement. Some of these sounds you're making. Those who are listening to you are hearing these type of sounds come from your life. There may be some of us today who need to hear these sounds. You need freedom. No, you're not a slave girl, but you're a slave to something. Maybe you think you're a slave to the system. You're in a rut and you want looking for more answers to life than what I have. And I've met people who have a lot of wealth, who have a lovely family, and they still are missing something. That something is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God has created us in his image, and the only way that we're going to get the most out of this life is to be connected with this God through which his glory can flow through me. So true freedom and true life comes in relating to the Almighty God day by day. And freedom. Some of us need that. Some of us are suffering and we just can't see the joy in it. And as James exhorts us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of life. For you know these trials are working patience and all these good things in you. The character of Christ being formed in you, and have joy in that. Some of you and some of me need to know what it means to be joyful. How about justice? Whether you're in the political realm or in what we call corporate responsibility, industrial action, that's trying to do fairness and justice, some of us need to be those voices for Christ. You know, Tom got up at prayer, and that's one thing that hit me about that song, about all my sins have washed away. And I was having fun singing it. I don't know if Jesse could hear me, but I was all the way, and it's all my sins have been all. So I'm doing kind of a discount where you guys are singing. I really have fun. But all of my sins have been washed away. Justice has been met on Jesus Christ. He died for all my sins, past, present, and future. It's not about performance. It's about enjoying and embracing this grace of God that's rained down upon me, and I can say, hallelujah. Justice has been served. Jesus, the Son of God, died for me. Justice has been served. And so don't beat yourself up. Grab a hold of the truth that you are forgiven in Christ. Grab a hold of it and ask him. As talking to some of my brothers, I said, well, we got a fight club here. We're going to hate sin, we're going to fight it, and we're going to trust Jesus, basically. Encouragement. Recently, someone's been sending me a few emails. I won't mention the person's name, but very encouraging emails. And meeting people for lunch and talking to them about different avenues and testings they're going through and seeing their witness bright and shining. It's encouragement. But I don't know if you need encouragement this morning. Jesus is there to give it. Lydia came to faith through hearing Bible exposition. I believe the slave girl, when she was delivered from that demon, she came to faith through a deliverance ministry of exorcising that demon from her. The Philippine jailer and his family meet a calamity, a crisis, and he comes to faith. God works in different ways in different people, as he does in your heart. But these sounds are all sounds of Christ. He offers freedom. He knew for the joy set before him, he could endure the cross. As I said earlier, he paid the price, and he is the judge. And he has given Holy Spirit to encourage us. These are the sound of the Christ we worship. Let's pray. Father, you see my friends' hearts, and you know their life circumstances, and some of them are pretty tough right now. I don't know what sound they need to hear from you, Lord Jesus, but I thank you that by your Spirit you can give freedom, you can give joy, you can encourage them that you are the God of justice, you can show them afresh that all their sins, all our sins, I can put that in the plural, all of our sins in Christ Jesus, those of us who've come to faith, all of them have been washed away. Hallelujah. I pray, Holy Spirit, that those of us who need to be speaking the gospel to such effect as Paul and Silas, witnessing for you in this arena of Discovery Bay community, in our workplaces, in our schools, among our friends, among strangers, that we would indeed be making sounds that bring and touch lives with the joy of the gospel, with freedom, with encouragement. Thank you for your words. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.